Happy Sunday to you. How you doing? I know if you're a Mizzou fan, you are happy today. What a crazy win last night, huh? What a nutty, nutty, bananas, insane football game. It went from being, in the first half, one of the most boring football games, college or NFL, but one of the most boring college football games you'd ever have to sit through. I mean, it was bad, right? And the game underwent a total, complete personality transformation in the second half, but especially starting in, you know, late in the third quarter where Drew Pine and that offense came alive. And we'll get into that. I mean, he was superb with the game on the line, just absolutely superb. And again, we'll give him his flowers here in a couple of minutes. But anyway, Mizzou beats Oklahoma 30-23, and the Tigers go to 7-2 on the season. And this is the Bernie Miklas Show. Welcome to my YouTube channel. Please subscribe if you haven't done it. I would very much be grateful, and I appreciate all your comments under the videos, and also you hit the like button. Again, thank you for your support. We're growing, and we're doing well, and I'm having fun doing it. It's interesting because, like, after the game, the most important thing is that they won, and I'm going to get into that. But it was amazing to me. Sorry, this morning when I was starting to go around reading things that were written nationally and said nationally, and even locally to an extent. You know, Eli Drinkwitz, the Mizzou coach, who is never never a bashful man. Like after the game, he probably made a good amount of news compared to what the actual news of Mizzou winning this crazy game, right? He trolled Bob Stoops, the former Oklahoma coach, for saying some stuff about, like, kind of laughing off the idea of Mizzou and Oklahoma being a rival, or the fact that Oklahoma moving to the SEC, you know, Mizzou's already there, you know, what's it going to be like to play them? And, you know, he said something about, well, we beat Mizzou's arse all the time in the Big 12. Why should we be worried about Mizzou in the SEC? Well, Oklahoma's now 0-1 against Mizzou in the SEC. And then Coach Drink was even getting after it with some people on Twitter, including a former Oklahoma player. And then he also called out someone in the local media. And in his press conference, he did the usual thing. And, you know, there's one thing I could change about Drink in terms of his the way he does press conferences and interviews. And it's not a big deal, but I just get so tired. Hey, man, people get tired of me too, all right? You're probably tired of me already watching this video. But I just get tired of the expression, you know, we just block out the noise. You know, Drew Pine blocked out the noise. You know, we don't listen to the noise. We tune out the noise. We don't pay attention to the noise. Well, yeah, obviously you pay a lot of attention to the noise, because every time Mizzou wins a game, that's like the first thing Drinkwitz talks about. And he did it last night, and he did it a lot. And it was funny and it's entertaining, but it also draws attention, and he wants attention, and attention is good for the Mizzou program. I mean, Eli Drinkwitz, I think, went to the Lane Kiffin training school for commanding the media spotlight, right? Even if it ruffles some feathers, he does it. So that's one thing. I like it. I just get tired of hearing the noise with him talking about the noise, if that makes sense. We got to come up with another phrase, but let's make some noise today. Okay, shall we? Now, the other thing that Drinkwitz did after the game, and I, when I was watching it, I was laughing, or I was smiling, maybe chuckling a little bit, that he was talking about how, hey, this win, great comeback, yada, yada, yada. But it keeps us in the playoff hunt. It keeps us in the playoff hunt. Now, that got picked up on by The Athletic. It got picked up on by, like, Saturday Down South and some other places. And, in effect, the media was kind of, we got to call timeout here. Can we get a timeout? Timeout. Thank you. And they're basically scoffing at the idea that Mizzou is in the playoff hunt. Now, Mizzou is 7-2. And Mizzou is one of seven SEC teams that right now, obviously pending the final 3 weeks of the regular season, Mizzou's one of seven SEC teams that could finish at 10-2 in terms of conference play. And so if you want to be technical about it, the Tigers are in the playoff hunt. How much that they are or how deeply they are is, I guess it's where you go shopping for your information or whatever. For example, the ESPN College Football Power Index, we'll call it FPI from here on the rest of the video. They give Mizzou actually like a 8% chance to make the college football playoff. I was surprised by that. I thought it would be lower. The Athletic, which has its own model and own projection system, they only give Mizzou 0.3% chance of making the 12-team playoff. And so I'm just giving you sort of the two forecasts at opposite ends. One maybe a little surprisingly high, the other one virtually nothing, maybe a tad low. And if you look at as I did, the Athletic, where they rated the playoff probability of all the SEC teams right now, there are eight teams on the list, and Mizzou is number eight behind Texas, Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Texas A&M, and LSU. So I wanted to set the table there, but I also wanted to talk about it. And again, I understand that the new 12-team playoff sets up a situation where you can remain in the hunt, technically speaking. You are in the hunt with two losses. You get to three, you're in trouble. Or I think one of these years, or maybe even this year, there's still going to be a time, there will be times, plural, where a team that's lost three games will have a legitimate case, maybe a couple of teams. I'm not saying it'll be this year, but this is going to happen. But for now, if you got two losses, you can survive and get into the tournament. And Missouri, as we know, has two losses. But just because Mizzou is 7-2, it doesn't mean the Tigers are realistically in this safari for one of the dozen spots, right? I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to be pragmatic. Because the Tigers lost their two games against teams in the current college football top 25 rankings, college football playoff 25 rankings, top 25, by a combined score of 75-10. That's not good. Of course, Texas A&M and Alabama losses. Those are embarrassing losses, no matter how you cut it. And even if Saturday's crazy comeback was the start of a four-game winning streak to cap the regular season, Mizzou's best victories would be against Vanderbilt and South Carolina. Those are fine victories, but there's not a victory on this schedule over one of the so-called big boys. It just isn't there. And yet, against a couple of the big boys, Mizzou got slapped into submission, and it was pretty bad. It was real bad. Now, the ESPN metrics give the Tigers a 13% chance to win out and finish 10-2. It can be done, so I'll play along. The Tigers should win at Mississippi State on November the 23rd. If they don't, well, nothing to talk about. And they should get past Arkansas at Faurot Field on November the 30th. But first up, as you all know, first up is Saturday's game at South Carolina. And that is a must-win game for Mizzou. And it is a huge challenge, maybe more than, say, casual fans realize. South Carolina is red hot, sizzling hot right now. They're a lot better than I think we assume. Like on the surface, if you look at their record, 6-3 overall, 4-3 in the conference. Look, they're not even in the playoff race. So how can they be one of the hottest teams in America right now? But they really are. If you go by recent trends and where they are right now as a football team, Shane Beamer has got one of the hottest squads in the country. They're rolling over people. If you go, let's review very quickly the last four games South Carolina has played. They lost by two at Alabama and really played very well there and lost by two. Mizzou lost by how many points at Alabama? They got shut out. That's all I can remember. That's all I want to remember. But then in the last 3 weeks, South Carolina has pounded out three straight wins over Oklahoma, Texas A&M, and Vanderbilt. Average margin of victory, nearly 24 points. So South Carolina may not get any love from the top 25 pollsters or the committee that is doing the playoff rankings. But if you go to alternative ranking systems, like, for example, the Sagarin ratings, which I have always gone to historically because it gives you an independent view of things. Sagarin's got South Carolina at this moment as the number 10 team in the country. And the ESPN FPI, Football Power Index, has got them at number 14. And I can't say they're wrong. I mean, because they have played dominating football here as of late, and it's going to be really tough for Mizzou to go down there and win that game. I mean, and in fact, my friend Tom Ackerman, I was just on with him at KMOX, so my usual Sports in a Sunday Morning hit with Tom. And he looked it up while we were on the air, and Mizzou opens as a 13.5-point underdog at South Carolina. So, the window is open. The window is open. I mean, there isn't a lot of air getting through, but if in terms of making the playoffs for Mizzou, the window is open by a crack. It really is. But I say that keeping a realistic attitude about this. I can dream, but I can also just say, well, there's nothing to talk about yet. And there's nothing to talk about, unless Mizzou goes to South Carolina and wins the game. You know, then we can have another discussion, a more serious discussion, perhaps, about the Tigers having a shot at making the postseason. Even then, things could be stacked against them. But I'm just saying, there's really nothing serious to discuss unless Mizzou wins at South Carolina. Until that happens, or unless that happens, all this playoff talk, to use Coach Drink's favorite term, it's all noise. Okay, it's nothing but noise. And I'm not saying I'm blocking out this particular form of noise, because I'm talking about it. I'm adding to the noise, but I'm sort of debunking it in a way that where I understand what Drink's doing, and more on that in a second. But again, I just don't. I don't see it as something that right now is worth any kind of serious discussion. As we mentioned, Mizzou is now one of seven SEC teams that could finish 10-2, along with Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Texas, and Texas A&M. Those six all landed in the College Football Playoff Committee's top 16 last week, and Mizzou was at number 24. And Mizzou validated the committee's confidence by winning the game against Oklahoma at Faurot Field last night. So that win gave Coach Drinkwitz some extra oxygen, right? And here's what I like about Mizzou. It's great to dream of the playoffs. It really is. And it should be every team's goal that's trying to win. And it's got the money and the resources to do so. And Mizzou has moved way up in the world in terms of that. But the coach has plenty to sell. I mean, he has plenty to sell. Can I go over this? See, I'm going to be Mr. Positive now. And I'm sincerely positive about this. So since the start of last season, Mizzou is 18-4. That's a winning percentage of .818. If we go back in time just a little more towards the end of the 23 season, Mizzou has won 20 of its last 25 games for an .800 winning percentage. Does this make them Georgia? No. Does it make them Alabama? No. Ohio State? No. Although they beat Ohio State, a reduced Ohio State squad. But does it make Mizzou Oregon? No. But if we look at Mizzou's football history and we look at the standards and we look at kind of the program rising up for a little bit and then going back down, rise up a little, go back down. Sustained success has been elusive, other than, what Gary Pinkel did with Mizzou in two different phases of his coaching term there. The Chase Daniel led team that got to number one in the country, and Gary Pinkel had two top 10 rankings and at the end of the season, back-to-back SEC East titles. but then Mizzou receded. And that's been the challenge for every coach. You can get this thing up to a point. You really can. Keeping it there is the huge, huge challenge. And this is why this 18-4 over the last 2 years, fans at Alabama may sneer at that or something. I don't know. But for Mizzou, it's all relative to what your history is. And for a Mizzou team to win 18 out of its last 22 games is impressive, even if there have been some disappointments baked in. On top of that, Mizzou's relevance can be explained this way. If we go back to last season, Mizzou has been ranked, and I'm assuming that they're going to remain ranked in the AP poll. At the time I record this, the rankings have not been released. But I'm assuming if they were number, I don't know where they were last week in the AP poll. They weren't ranked. I know they were ranked in the coaches poll, and they were ranked in the college football playoff committee poll. So I'm just going to say they're going to be ranked, okay? Certainly, I would believe, obviously, with the College Football Playoff Committee, because if they were 24 last week, they strengthened their case by winning with a backup quarterback this week. And if they were already ranked in the college coaching poll, they'll stay in there too. So I'm going to just go ahead and assume they're going to be ranked again when this is announced today, no matter where they're ranked. So anyway, if we go back to last season, Mizzou has been ranked in 21 of the last 22 Associated Press polls, the top 25 AP, including I think the streak got to like 19 in a row, might even be 20. And that includes the final ranking of 2023 and the preseason ranking for 2024. Mizzou has been ranked in the top 10 8 times in the last 14 Associated Press top 25 polls. This is really, really heady stuff, impressive stuff, outstanding stuff for a program that, as we mentioned, has struggled to kind of hit that more elite level of college football and then stay there for a while. So Drink doesn't have to scrounge for something positive to talk about. He really doesn't, because the team's record over the last two seasons speaks, by Mizzou standards, it speaks loudly, very loudly. It really does. But if he wants to, like last night, he's got an SEC network audience. He laid out a soundbite or two right at the end of the game that the national media picked up on, which was exactly Drinkwitz's plan and his hope and his motivation. He would stir it up a little bit. So what does that mean? Well, he says, well, you know, we're still alive. Yeah, the playoffs, we're still in it. So forget people like me and other pragmatic minds. It doesn't matter what we think. He got what he needed. He got that soundbite on national cable satellite streaming TV. And there's a lot of recruits that are going to hear about it, read about it, whatever. So he was selling. And he's really good at that. But my point, which is a compliment, is that he's already got a lot of great things to sell to potential recruits. And I tell you what, that atmosphere at the game last night is another thing to sell, because it was the type of game that had the blackout. I mean, the crowd was impressive. The crowd was into it. The crowd looked great, sounded great. But let's be honest. I mean, it was a snoozer in the first half. We didn't know what Drew Pine was going to do when he came out. And the Mizzou offense and the backup quarterback, Drew Pine, they had a really, really tough go of it in the first half. 3 points and 88 yards in the first half. And if you look at, you know, Drew Pine, if you sort of break it down, his passing yards, he had minus 4 passing yards in the first half, the first quarter. And he had only 27 passing yards in the second quarter. So at halftime, 23 yards passing. And Mizzou was down 9-0, then they got it to 9-3 at the half. And they were still in the game because the Mizzou defense played very well all night. In fact, they gave up 257 yards overall. They gave up 135 yards passing overall. But 61 of those 135 yards, passing yards, came on a fake punt and came on a trick play, a pass. So their base defense was excellent against a normal offense, was great. Against Oklahoma. I mean, Oklahoma only averaged 4 yards per play. They were 5 for 15 on third down. They averaged like 3.4 yards per run, 4 turnovers that led to 13 points for the Tigers, 3 sacks, 8 tackles for losses. And of course, Mizzou scored the winning touchdown on a sack scoop fumble return that shocked Columbia, Missouri, and probably, well, I know it shocked Norman, Oklahoma. So the defense was huge last night, and I wanted to, you know, tip my cap to the Tigers' defense. Granted, they didn't have a powerhouse offense to stop, but you still got to get the job done, and they did a wonderful job of getting the job done. And what a crazy game it was, and we're going to get back to Drew Pine here in a minute. Final 8 minutes and 47 seconds of that game, 5 touchdowns. 2 were on fumble returns, 1 for each side. There's no action at all. And you get into the third quarter and there's still no action at all. And then it's starting to perk up a little bit. And then the final 8 minutes and 47 seconds, boom, 5 touchdowns. All the action you would want. And depending on who you were rooting for, you were either way up or you were way down. And it would soon reverse the other way, right? It was just great stuff. It was great entertainment. And it kind of rose up from nowhere because this game was absolutely a dud. I mean, Mizzou fans were booing, at least Drinkwitz said. I tend to not like focus on that when I'm watching the game as a fan, but Drinkwitz, of course, made a big deal about it. You know, we blocked out the noise. Okay, we got you, coach. If there was noise to be blocked out, Drew Pine blocked it out, because let me tell you something. As you know, I'm telling you what you know, but let me break it down. So you look at his game, it's 14 for 27, 52%, 143 yards, big deal, 143 yards. But it's not that he just had 3 touchdowns and there were no interceptions. And it's not that he just had 3 touchdowns in terms of passing the ball for a touchdown. It's when it was the timing of those touchdown throws. First of all, from 6:42 left in the second quarter to 14:48 left in the third quarter. So from about 6:42 left in the second quarter to early in the third quarter, he completed 1 out of 8 passes for 19 yards. So it looked at that point that the night was getting worse and worse and worse for Drew Pine. I mean, listen, great guy, proud guy, clearly cares, clearly wants to give his team what they need, clearly wants to come through. And I found myself at the Alabama game, you're watching the Alabama game, feeling bad for him because he was thrown in a really awful position. And Brady Cook, who we all, you know, think highly of as a guy and as a Mizzou guy and a competitor and all that, Brady Cook wasn't playing all that well in terms of his accuracy before he got hurt. And then Drew Pine came in and, you know, his accuracy was even worse. And it was just a tough spot for him in Alabama, as we know. But then it carried over to Saturday night. I mean, he was just misfiring. Nothing was happening. And I repeat, he went before Mizzou started to click in and Drew Pine led them in clicking in. Right before that, man, one completion in 8 attempts, right? It wasn't getting any better. It was actually snowballing, and it was like, oh my gosh, how bad will this be? My gosh. So from 12 minutes and 17 seconds left in the third quarter to the end of the game, he was 8 out of 14, 120 yards and 3 touchdowns on the 3 drives that led to his touchdown passes, and all were critical. 4 for 5, 44 yards. It ends with a 13-yard touchdown pass on a screen to Theo Weiss, okay? Then a short drive set up, you know, by the Mizzou defense, a short drive, 1 for 2 for 5 yards. Second touchdown pass, a five-yard touchdown pass to the tight end, Brett Northfleet. I wish they threw to him more often. What a target. Then where they needed to come back after Oklahoma raced in with a fumble recovery, Mizzou's down 23-16 with 2 minutes left, had a 3rd and 16 after a sack, and Pine throws one 33 yards. It's basically like, hey, you're Luther Bird in the third. I'm your quarterback. I'm going to give you a chance to go up and make a play, which if you think about it is really a smart approach. It's not a haphazard approach at all. And also the way he got that pass in there, was really impressive. And of course, Luther Burden went up and got it, 33-yard gain. So you get out of third and 16, and all of a sudden you're cooking. Oh, you're cooking. So on that final drive, which ended with a 10-yard touchdown on a fade in the corner to Theo Weiss, he was 3 for 6, 71 yards in the 10-yard touchdown pass, and that tied the game. That also set up what came next, that awesome, awesome sack. It was a fumble, scoop it up, run for a touchdown. Good job there by the Mizzou defense. So on the three touchdown drives, which were essential and absolutely necessary, Drew Pine was 8 for 13, 120 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions. His passer rating was 215. That's excellent, to say the least. His passer rating for the game was 133. Mizzou hadn't had a passer rating that high in a game against a power team this year since Brady Cook was above that against Boston College. So Mizzou had not been getting that kind of quarterback play for a while now. So I just really appreciate what he did. I mean, if you just look at his, you know, you just look at what he did in the second half. I mean, his passer rating was about 175. He was making money throws. He was hitting on third down plays, which is always important. And he came through for the Tigers on a night where they didn't have a running game, on a night where he got off and the offense got off, the passing game got off to a terrible start. And I know, listen, first of all, Oklahoma's got a good defense. Oklahoma's problems on the other side of the ball. Oklahoma's got, I go by metrics, my Sports Info Solutions account. Oklahoma, among the power conference teams, came into the game in terms of the run defense metric as the number one run defense team in the country. So my point being, Drew Pine, I appreciate the fact they were going to let Oklahoma know they were going to try to run, right? Which would, in theory, make it easier to pass later on. And that's what Drinkwitz said, and I'd have to agree with him. You have to at least try to run against Oklahoma to show that you're willing to do it. And that you won't be so predictable with just setting up the pass and making your quarterback a sitting duck all night. So it worked. It may have seemed counterintuitive at first. Like, well, why are they just keep running the ball for 2 yards? You know, what's the point of this? There was a master plan, if you buy what Coach Drink is saying. But the point is, I think there was some merit to what they were saying. Because why do I think it was merit? Because Mizzou started passing the ball great from the third, like later in the third quarter, all the way through the fourth quarter. The passing game was terrific in terms of the timing and throw, the importance of the throws, the situational throws, all of that stuff. And under pressure, too, not only from the pass rush, but also just under pressure to win the game, right? Because Mizzou couldn't afford to lose that game if they want to have any kind of season that they were hoping for, right? So he was really good, really, really good under the circumstances, and you have to put that performance in context. And I really, really appreciate what he did. Drew Pine showed a lot of heart, showed a lot of talent, showed resourcefulness, also showed, and this is an important quality for any athlete, team sport, individual. You start off the competition, and it pretty much couldn't go worse, other than the fact he didn't throw an interception. That's good. He wasn't a liability as far as giving the other team the ball, right? But in terms of completing passes and moving the ball through the air and getting something done, making something happen, nothing was happening in that first half, and it didn't really hit, not much happened early in the second half either. But instead of letting that sap his confidence, do affect his demeanor, affect his mental poise, all of those things, he just flushed it down. I mean, he just threw it away, and he went out and he won a ball game. He won a crazy ball game for Mizzou over their old Big 8, Big 12 rival. So it was a fun night in Columbia for all the fans who toughed that one out. I know I was enjoying it, watching it. So we can worry about playoff possibilities. As I said, nothing to talk about until Mizzou plays at South Carolina, and we'll see how that turns out. But because Drew Pine was able to do what he did for one night, for one half of one night, it really makes Mizzou's position intriguing. I mean, 7-2 with a chance to go 10-2. We're only talking about a chance. And it really makes this game Saturday in Columbia, South Carolina, really intriguing, because is there any way against a red hot Gamecocks team, any way that Drew Pine and that offense can go into that place against that team that has just been destroying everybody the last 3 weeks? Can they take that performance, Drew Pine in particular, take that performance and transport that thing to South Carolina and do something similar? That is a huge challenge, but that's why these games are great. That's why we watch, because you always have questions. You always want to see what somebody's got. You always want to see what they're capable of. And I got to believe that Drew Pine's confidence went way up last night. Is it going to be enough come Saturday in Columbia SC? Don't know. I hope so. I hope it's a good game, because I'd like to see Mizzou give Coach Drink more reasons to go yappity, yappity, yap, and to give the national media more things to talk about. Anyway, I've enjoyed visiting with you this morning. Thank you for watching, and we'll be back. I'll be back tomorrow morning here on the Bernie Show channel on YouTube. Again, thank you very much, and I hope you have a pleasant Sunday. Thank you.